Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Were it not for an act of God done in your life, you would never be a new creation in Christ. Only God creates this new identity in a process called conversion. Today, more on how the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, causes us to experience the life of God. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on Changed by the Word. In this, the first of six messages, our focus is on how the Word of God converts us.
Do you remember Jesus in John chapter 3 said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. You have to be born from above by the Spirit of God. So what God does is he takes the Word of God, he takes the Spirit of God, and he brings them together to create within us the life of God, so that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are a believer today, I need to emphasize the fact that God did a miracle in your heart from above. It wasn't something that you generated. It wasn't something that you participated in. It was a direct miracle of creation within you, so that after you received Jesus Christ as Savior, there was something within you that was not there previously. It's a miracle of God. You know, George Beverly Shea was the singer for evangelist Billy Graham. Now, there arises a new generation that knows not Billy, but he was one of the most famous men in the world. He could draw crowds much larger than anyone else. He was in Haringey Arena, London, England, for 3 months, every night, filling Haringey back in 1954. But his soloist, George Beverly Shea, sang a song that some of you will be acquainted with. It said, it took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. That is a miracle just as great, really, as the miracle of creation. And by the way, an English woman misunderstood what Bev Shea was singing. And she went up to him later and said, Mr. Shea, what do you mean by saying it took America to put the stars in space? Now, America has done some wonderful things. America has put a man on the moon, but one thing that America has never done is to create so much as one single molecule. Creation is God's work. And the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You didn't participate in the creation part. But the moment that you believed and the miracle of the new birth happened simultaneously. And that's why the Bible is so very clear that it does not happen by baptism. It does not happen by confirmation. People say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I was in confirmation. Good to be in confirmation to learn something, but it doesn't produce within you the new birth apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ and the transforming experience of the gospel. All right, what does the Word do? The Word combines the Word preached, he says. This is now, of course, in verse 25. The good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners and that he's the only Savior of the world, and if we believe on him, we shall be saved. That's the Word that was preached to you that is combined by the Holy Spirit to produce the new birth. So first of all, we're converted by the Word. But secondly, we're nourished by the Word. The chapter break here in 1 Peter chapter 2 is unfortunate. You know, of course, that chapter breaks are not inspired. They were put there to help us find our way through the Bible, and sometimes they're in places that really break the thought. So he's saying in chapter 2, put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may be growing up into salvation. That is to say, so that you enter into the full experience of salvation. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is good. So what Peter is doing here is, as he's talking about the family of God, what he is emphasizing is the fact that we begin as infants. We begin as infants. Now he's talked about the new birth, being born from above. And when you're born from above, you are likened to an infant into the spiritual family of God. What do we know about infants? First of all, they are born complete, aren't they? Complete. In other words, when you bring them home from the hospital, and by the way, they let you know that they are home from the hospital, if I remember correctly. But when you bring them home from the hospital, you don't say, okay, well, next week what we need to do is go back and get the toes of the child. Because, you know, we have part of his body, and then what we need to do is to get his hands or his feet or whatever. No, they are born complete. By the way, when a little baby is born, a couple days old, have you ever looked at his or her little thumbnail? Or I guess I should say the nail of their little finger. Just as small as the head of a pin. But it's there. It's there. And it's going to grow. It's complete. All that it needs to do is grow. Spiritually speaking, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, that all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. And then it says, and you are complete in him. You are filled up in him. When you receive Christ as Savior, you receive the imprint of God in your life, and you have everything in you that you need for growth, except, of course, you need to be fed. Infants always are born complete. You have within you the DNA of Jesus, and what you need to do is to grow. And of course, we know that infants often should have an appetite. If a child is born and has no appetite, that's very, very serious. And indeed, they let you know that they are hungry. And in the very same way, when we are born spiritually, what we need to do is recognize that we have a new appetite. Created within us is a love for God. It's miraculous. You know, before you're converted, God is just there to kind of be used. Oh, I need prayer. Yeah, I want God to help me. And then after you're converted, there is birthed within you a love of God and a love of Christ that needs to be nurtured. And what you need is food. Now, have you ever seen, and I know you have, on television, children that have had no food? Most of them are starving because of some reason. It's hard for me to look at that, to see the way in which they are. Sometimes children that are 4 years old that look as if they're 18 months old. And yet I force myself to look at it because I say, even though it's so hard for me to accept, I have to remember that those infants are actually going through the experience. But, you know, that's the case, I believe, of many believers in the body of Jesus Christ. They are basically infants, and they are starved spiritually. And as a result of that starving, they don't know how to receive the pure spiritual milk of the Word that Peter talks about. Now, imagine a baby who gets fed once a week. Every Sunday morning, he goes for some food. And then he's starved during the week, and then he comes on Sunday, and he sings songs, and he hears the Word of God preached, and he opens his or her Bible, and so they are inspired, and they say, wow, you know, that was really interesting and helpful, and I'm motivated. And then nothing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Starved. And they don't grow. And why is it that we don't have an appetite for the Word? Well, I think what we need to do is just look at the context of what Peter is talking about here. You'll notice it says in chapter 2, verse 1, put away all malice. Boy, that'll stifle your appetite for the Word of God. If you have malice in your heart, if you're overcome by hatred and all deceit, what are you doing that's deceitful? You begin to live a deceitful life, and I'll tell you, It'll be hard for you to put up with church, much less reading the Word and being encouraged by it and being fed by it. What about hypocrisy and envy and all slander? You see, as sin develops in our life, it zaps our appetite for the Word. And the world does. My mother, I remember, used to say, no, you can't have sweets before dinner and so forth. Why? Because it takes away your appetite. So we've got all of these other things going on, including the technology around us that is constantly distracting us. And so there's no way for us to grow spiritually. And would be very interesting to see what Moody Church would look like if we took all the spiritual babies and put them in a nursery. Wonder how many we'd have. And so, you see, appetite needs to be developed, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it together as a church. We are going to restart, jumpstart an appetite for the Word. Now, what does the Word do for us? Well, it is food. It is food. Spiritually speaking, it is food. If you need food to grow physically, you need food to grow spiritually. You'll notice it says, the pure spiritual milk of the Word that you thereby may grow. You need milk. But it's not just that you need milk. You also need bread. And that's what Jesus was using when he was combating Satan. You know, milk is just the basics of the Christian life. How to read the Bible, reading the stories about Jesus in the New Testament, all that is milk. But Jesus is withstanding Satan, and he quotes from Deuteronomy that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And in the scripture, bread is spoken of, what bread is to the body, in the same way the scripture is to the soul. So if you want to graduate from being a baby in the Lord that needs milk, you begin to memorize scripture so that you can use it the way Jesus used it against Satan. Satan comes to him with one temptation, and Jesus says, it is written. And Jesus is able to quote it.
And by the way, my friend, when Jesus quoted scripture, guess what? The devil quoted scripture too. We must always understand scripture in context, and here in the ministry of Running to Win, we are committed to a balanced biblical approach to everything, including our emotions. I've written a book entitled Managing Your Emotions, God's Gifts Gone Wrong. Listen, emotions are a gift. They give color to life. They inspire us. And they, however, can become a drag, and they can lead us down the wrong path. The book is entitled Managing Your Emotions, God's Good Gifts Gone Wrong. You know that it is possible for you to feel very badly, even experiencing depression, and at the same time you might still be walking with God, because feelings are not facts. That's something we have to learn as we journey this life.
Erwin Lutzer with more of The Word of God Converts Us, the first message in a series on Changed by the Word. Next time, making the way clear for the Word of God to work in our lives. Dr. Lutzer's book on managing your emotions can transform your life. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.